We're continuing a short series dealing with what is your exit strategy, your escape plan. And I hope, and it's just strange that this happens to be a hurricane designed to come this way, but it is important for us to know, where are we leaning on? Who do we yield upon? What is our exit strategy, or who is our exit strategy? This morning, I'm going to ask a commitment on everyone's part this morning, that first off, that you make a commitment and say, Lord, show me areas in my life where I'm not depending upon you where I should be. Upon areas that I keep on falling and falling and falling, and I think that I'm leaning on you, but I'm really not. And the second thing is that when the Lord shows us those things, shows you specifically those things, it says, Steve, you know, this is where you've dropped the ball so many times. This is an area where, you know, you've been a little lax. Or maybe it's just totally, Steve, where have you been? You're not doing what I asked. Why should I tell you anymore when I'm telling you now and you don't do things? So the first thing that I ask that you commit to the Lord says, Lord, I'm asking you to show me what breaks your heart this morning in my life. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is more difficult. That when he shows you those things, when he tells you and he says, yeah, this is what you need, and he reminds you, no matter how hard our hearts may be, that we'll commit it to the Lord and we'll say, Lord, I will do this. How many will agree with me in prayer this morning? Let's ask and seal this in prayer. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for the still small voice, and we thank you for the loud voice that speaks volumes to us, that changes our lives, that opens it our eyes to see things that we never thought of areas where maybe we have been lazy. Maybe we have been rebellious. Maybe, and maybe no maybes about it, we just have not been dependent upon you. Father, we ask this morning, and we've commit this to you this morning, that when you do speak to us, when you do show us these things, and you do tell us these areas, we will do what you tell us to do. We ask these things in your Son's holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. We mentioned the other week that we usually have an exit plan, an escape strategy, when we foresee an event that is going to cause us harm. And not all dangers come from a hurricane or a tornado or an act of God like an earthquake or even a king like we saw last week. Sometimes it can be the neighbors or a citizen that surround us that have controversial beliefs. This morning, I would like to take time to present a man that many of us are introduced as children, and most children would know of him, I would assume that they did, that we're familiar with. He was an intelligent man, a man of integrity, an individual whose faith didn't bow to the laws of men when it opposed the laws of God. His reputation was spotless. He was respected by some because he was a man of principle. He had a government job and had his finances were very secure. But in spite of all the positive things, there were some that hated him. There were men that hated him so much that they just didn't want him out of office. They wanted him out of existence. Let's begin to look at a man who had time to prepare an exit strategy, a go bag. The means to escape and the finances to fund it. But instead, he chooses to rely on God for deliverance. If you would turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. (Clears throat) Beginning in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three men, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. I love the way the Bible brings out things about people, about the reputation of people. Here's a man that was taken from his family at a young age, probably a teenager. He was raised from a youth, not just to acknowledge God, but to live it. But there was something different about Daniel. You see, there are some believers who profess to know God. They go to church. They give thanks before they eat. But they lack something. They may even know the right thing to do, the good things, the bad things, and where it's found down in the Bible. But they lack something. More accurately, they lack someone. God. Daniel kept God in the center of everything he had and everything he did. And in doing so, God changed Daniel from the inside out. Daniel became a man of integrity. Daniel wasn't born a man of integrity. He became that way. He held true to the values that he was taught when he was younger. The quality of a person that says and does the right thing in spite of consequences, without any personal gain, or regardless of majority consensus, is a man of integrity. That trait, combined with Daniel's skills, promoted him to basically second in command of the kingdom. Listen, having this kind of reputation where you do the right thing and don't take loopholes and laws is a great reputation to have before men. But don't begin to think that everyone is going to pat you on the back because you have it. Daniel had this reputation. As a matter of fact, Daniel had a higher standard than man's law. He held to God's law. Man's law changes. Man's standard of defining what good and evil are, it changes depending on who is elected. God wasn't elected, and His laws don't change. His standards never change. We live in a day and an age where it isn't enough to be known as a good law-abiding citizen. We need to be known as God-fearing citizens. A God-fearing citizen is going to obey the laws of man, but a God-fearing citizen is going to hold themselves to a higher standard, a higher law, and that's God's law. Daniel is about to face something that he has never faced in his entire life before. It is a testing of faith that you and I are confronted with daily. It is a test in your faith between two authorities, God's and the other guy's. And in this case, it's the government. Daniel, up until this point, was able to keep both the laws of man and the laws of God because they didn't conflict. Daniel is about to be faced with something that every believer has to do. They have to make that decision. What decision will you make? Let's continue reading in verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the laws of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. Here are some men that said, we know we can't find any corruption in Daniel when it comes to the law. So what we have to do is we have to divide the two and make it so he has to choose one or the other. We know that if we can do that, Daniel will always side with his God over government. So they devise a plan. They come to the king and say, King, we have 100% agreement. Now, it's a lie to begin with because Daniel obviously didn't agree. We have 100% agreement on this and all our subordinates. King, you are the best king ever to rule our nations. Your wisdom, your insight into how to solve the problems and the petitions are remarkable. We would like for you to sign into law for the next 30 days that no one can request anything of God or man for only the next 30 days, King. Only the next 30 days. We want a 30-day hiatus where the government is shut down. It is something that has to happen. If someone wants something, it's got to go to you. Not God, not anyone else. And if it goes to you, it better be important. King Darius approves this law, and it goes into effect. In verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew what was happening at a certain point. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel hears about this law. And he has to make a choice. Cower to the laws or come out and stand with God. Be separated and have no fellowship with God for 30 days and live? Or have communication with God unbroken. Unbroken between the Creator of the universe and himself and face certain death. No, there are a lot of people that would compromise that. 30 days? All I have to do is not pray for 30 days? I can do that easy. Some people could say that. Or some might say, you know what? I can pray silently. I can pray and no one can say what's in my mind. No one can see what petitions I'm bringing before the Lord. And there may be some that may go to the extreme and says, well, I'm going to plan a 30-day vacation to some remote island off the coast of Alaska. And I'm going to pray all that I want. I haven't had a long time for a vacation. Let me do that. That wasn't Daniel's choice. Daniel was a man of integrity. He had a walk with God. He had a reputation of putting God first, and it's seen not just by the king, but those that surrounded him in government, in his job, in the way he did his job. Hold your place here in Daniel and turn to Mark chapter 8. Thank God Daniel didn't see it like that. Thank God he took a stand and said, I value my relationship with my God more than life itself. How much do you value your time, your relationship, your source for help? Do you value it as if your soul depended upon it? Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels. These are the words of Jesus saying this. Start recognizing that your health, the life and death of your soul, depends upon how you value your relationship with your Savior who died for you. How cheap would you sell your soul? If I were to ask you, would you sell your soul to the devil for $1 million? Some of us would say, oh, wouldn't even entertain that thought. But if you were asked, will you get up 15 minutes earlier or stay up 15 minutes later just to spend time in prayer, to spend time studying with the Word? Oh, that's too much. I can't handle that. The average hourly rate for Marion County is $19.40 an hour. That comes out to about $4.85 for every 15 minutes. We sell our souls for much less than $1 million. Let's change this. Don't count the seconds till the 15 minutes are up. Recognize who you are with, the lover of your soul, the healer, the Savior, who loved you so much to die on the cross for you. And none of us here are worthy of that sacrifice. Daniel wasn't going to exchange this time for anything. Look at what he does. Turn back to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den? The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said, before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, because he maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established shall be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Daniel said, in practice, no law of man will stop me from going before the throne of God, regardless of the consequences. I will not cower. I will not cringe. I will not run from what I know to be true and right, nor from the God who has seen me through. These men branded Daniel an outlaw, a rebel by the laws of man. He is guilty of breaking the law, and punishment must be served. I mean, could you imagine if there was a newscast back then? You'd see that little segment come up. Vice President Daniel, religious leader found guilty of breaking the law and praying to God. See live coverage at 6 as him being thrown into the lion's den. Daniel had a testimony of putting God first. It was something that everyone around him knew. Daniel's relationship with God had such an influence over Darius that even Darius, a pagan, heathen, Gentile king, attempted to encourage Daniel. Look at verse 16 again. The king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him in the lion's den. Now, when the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. How often do you have someone who doesn't know their Lord and Savior come and say, hey, you know what? Your God's going to take care of you. Daniel knew the power of God. While some may have entertained an idea of escaping or preparing a quick departure, Daniel's preparing started a long time before this. The Bible says he had a habit of preparing. Daniel didn't always know what was up ahead, but he knew who did. Look at verse 10 again. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon the knees, his knees, 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What our world needs is to see more Daniels. Not a running from someone, but a running to someone. Does the world see that person as Jesus? Can a faith be seen in you that is life-changing? A closeness that recognizes the leading of God. An obedience to instruction in His Word that is unwavering in the middle of trouble. Jesus was telling His disciples about people who know the right thing to do, but don't do it. It wasn't a pretty picture the way Jesus describes it. Hold your place in Daniel and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse, begin reading in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Daniel's house stood firm. The winds blew, the rains came, the floods surrounded, but his house didn't fall because it was on the foundation of a rock. A rock that Daniel knew the strength of very well. and you can too. I don't want to leave you with a cliffhanger this morning and say, did Daniel escape? How did God deliver him? We need to see the victories of God. When our lives come, and I'm sure all of us have had issues and problems and battles that we face, and so many times we hear of just the defeats, and maybe we only see defeats in our lives. We never see the victories, and we need to see those things because God sees us through them. Back to Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. The king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Wow! What an impact a person had on the king. That should really challenge us in our faith. To have the impact on a king, for us just to have an impact on a neighbor. Neither were instruments, music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. This king, he didn't say, oh, I'm going to turn on the TV. He didn't have entertainment. He says, I can't do it. I am too focused. This man I know, and I made a mistake. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came into the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, he knew the reputation, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever came at the bottom of the den. This morning, we've looked at a man who was so recognized for where God was in his life. It should be a challenge to every one of us to say, I need God in the center of every part of my life. This morning, if you need to rededicate your life to doing the things God has told you to be doing, don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't fill your day as the king had done previously up until this point with entertainment. Oh, I'm feeling bad, so I think I'll turn on some good music. Or I'll have some food that will help me get through, some comfort food. Don't wait this morning. God's been speaking to your life. Don't turn a deaf ear to him this morning. Turn an open heart. Come to him this morning and take care of it. Ask him for forgiveness. Repent of it. And see how God shines in you. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may not know Christ as your Savior. You may never have known the strength, or you just seen the mercy that has been shown to you because of all the things in your past. Call upon him today and he will save you. Recognize those areas that he's talked to you about, that he's spoken to you. You know that the wages of sin is death. Bring him to him this morning and ask forgiveness, and he will wash you as white as snow. We're going to have an invitation this morning. If you would, take care of that now. you want to come up to the altar, wonderful. If you want to do it at your seat, fine. Just make the decision. We're not given 15 seconds as soon as we leave this door. We don't know when our time is up. And we have to keep an appointment with the Lord saying, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or what have you done? Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that you've given us, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. Work through us this week. Help us to see ourselves through your eyes. The things that break your heart, break ours. The things that bring you joy, let those things bring us joy. Let us have that great desire to be more like you and follow through with it, with the commitments we've made today. In your Son's holy name we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen.